Would you join me in the book of Isaiah this morning? Once again, it's so good to be with you. I've enjoyed this time immensely. And I know I'm speaking figuratively, please. But in the hands of God, figuratively, He has a sheet of paper this morning. And everyone on that sheet of paper that's supposed to be here is here. And not one is missing. It's the appointed congregation for this moment.
Amen.
And I just trust the Lord in that. Now, I never get distraught in the dials when five people show up. That's the appointed number. Happy 4th of July.
Yes, thank you.
Over the millennia, God has allowed a number of government forms to be experimented with on this earth. When I was studying in college, they shared with me monarchy and oligarchy and democracy and dictatorships and republics and anarchy. There's probably two or three more that were experimented with. But not one of those forms of government ever caused anybody to cry out to God for mercy. It's the preaching of the gospel. And if this country fall and turn into an anarchy or a dictatorship, we still have the privilege of preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Paul did at Rome. And people in Caesar's household were saved. So I just don't get too worried about things. Sometimes I'm concerned, but I just don't get worried about it. Well, join me if you would here in the book of Isaiah, and we'd like to speak a few moments this morning on His robe. His robe. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, I'd like to read verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 of the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for a burnt offering. And I'll direct their work in truth. I love that very phrase there. I will direct thy work in truth. Their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. And their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them. And they are of the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. You know, that's one thing about going to a wedding. It doesn't take much to identify who's going to get married that day. By their dress. They have identified themselves. And then it goes on to say, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. God demands absolute perfection. He will accept nothing else. I've had people say, well, I'm going to start doing good from here on in the Lord. What about all that past time? You know, we got all of that history. We just never can reach perfection. It is an impossibility on our part. We may reach the preacher's perfection and we may reach the priest's perfection, but we will never reach God's perfection. We must have His perfection, and it is termed in the Scriptures as His righteousness. We must have His righteousness, and it must be given to us. It is not something that we appropriate by our good works, but it's something that is given to us. Now, a picture of this is found in the Garden of Eden when the Lord, after he had pronounced all of those judgments upon the serpent and the earth and all of those other things, it says he clothed Adam and Eve with a garment with the skins of animals. Now, sharing with this morning, that just reminds me of having to dress an infant. They don't work. They don't help. It's only after we get some age to us that we start to help. But an infant is helpless. And God dealt with these helpless couple, our first parents, and clothed them with the skins of animals. They didn't participate in skinning the animals. They didn't participate in putting those skins together to form a coat. They didn't participate in anything. They were receptive to it. They received it, and God gave it to them. And that's how we find God's righteousness for us. Now this morning, for a few moments, I'd like to look at three passages of Scripture in the New Testament about the robes or clothing that the Lord Jesus Christ himself wore that shares with us much about our robe of righteousness. The clothing that the Lord wore, there are three incidents in the time and the life of the Lord Jesus that really spoke to my heart about righteousness, and I'd like to look at them today. Now, they are typical. They are pictorial. They are not reality. Even the pictures of Christ's clothing is not reality to us. It takes the pure righteousness of Christ imputed to us for us to enjoy it. And that only comes as God works a work of grace. We're just not standing out in the field someday and he just, okay, it's required on his behalf, it's required that we are permitted to hear the gospel. Now, to begin with, it is offensive, because it is so contradictory to our very nature. The gospel is an offense. The cross is an offense. We don't have to make it offensive, and it already is. It's offensive to our very nature. But God works a work of grace, and he makes his people gracious. And they are so pleased to be clothed with this robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Christ himself, our righteousness. So let's look at these three passages of Scripture in the New Testament that share these wonderful truths about the righteousness of Christ. And first of all, would you turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, there's an incident that took place in the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want us to just think about this for a moment. The Lord never took a step that he did not predestinate before the foundation of the world. He never went anywhere that he did not predestinate to go to before the foundation of the world. And he never met anybody that he did not predestinate before the foundation of the world to meet during his time on this earth. He met a madman of Gadarene in the tombs by divine appointment. He met a woman at the well by divine appointment. He met all of his disciples, apostles, by divine appointment. He had an interest to fulfill his eternal purpose while he was here on this earth. And all of that, he set his face as the flint to Jerusalem to become the ransom for his people. So as we follow this out, everything that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, from his conception to his death on the cross and ascension back to heaven, all of that earthly ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, was predestinated before the foundation of the world, and it was worked out exactly according to script. I must needs go to Samaria. And we could just put that on everything he ever did, and we'd not harm the scriptures one bit. I must needs go up to a mountain and be transfigured. So join me here in the book of Luke chapter 9 and in verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white, and notice this word, glistering. Glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, look at this passage of scripture, and we find that his raiment. Now, that's what I want to look at today, as we looked over there in the book of Isaiah about that robe of righteousness and that covering that Adam was given by God Almighty there in the garden. This robe, this raiment, this clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ did something that is recorded here in the Word of God. It says there in the book of Luke chapter 9 that his raiment, verse 29, was white and glistering. Well, you know, I used to read that wrong. Gleaming or gleam, all kinds of words. And then one day, the Lord made me read it. Has that ever happened to you? You thought you knew until you read it right? And I'm thankful for that, because it's the Lord that helps us to read it right.
Amen.
It's the Lord that makes us to read it right. It's the Lord makes us to come to the right conclusion. And that does not happen in completeness until after we're born again. We think we know something about the Bible. I had to make this confession after the Lord saved me. I knew something about the Lord in my religion. But in the new birth, I knew him.
Amen.
Totally different. Makes the Bible afresh. Totally afresh. It's not history anymore. It's the message of the gospel. And here we read, his raiment was white and glistering. Now, that word white, it could be translated light or bright or brilliant. Something happened to him on that Mount of Transfiguration with his own person, his own persona. Something happened there that revealed to his disciples something about the glory of God in eternity past and eternity future. Here he is in his glory, or as much as could be revealed at that time. I don't understand all I know about it, but something happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was astounding. It was astonishing. It was something that caught their eye. It was something that even put their brain into gear that they should have kept their mouth shut. Does that ever happen to you? We should build a tabernacle for you and Moses and Elias. And God, the Lord says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He is the only hope. The law could not save, the prophets could not save, but both of them spoke of this one, the Lord Jesus, and his righteousness and his ability to pay a price that no one else could pay on the cross. He could ransom his people. He could purchase his people by his own blood. Well, this word glistening is to send forth lightning. Can you imagine seeing the raiment of someone that sent forth lightning? My grandmother used to have a wool blanket. And I one of the greatest experiences I ever had was get to spend the night with my grandparents. And she throw that wool blanket over, and on the underneath side, my grandfather says, just rub your hands across there a little bit. And there was electricity in there, static electricity. We could have lightning underneath that blanket. It was fascinating. We were just, whoa, this is wonderful. Well, can you imagine that here on the Mount of Transfiguration coming out a yard? I don't understand all I know about it, but there's something happened here that was not common. The disciples had never seen a sight like this. These were shown of the glory of God Almighty, Christ Jesus the Lord, and it was a transfiguration on that mount that they had never in their life ever seen, and his raiment was so glistering. It was so white. It was so electrifying. You know, there's one thing about the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing in this world like it.
Amen.
You can't manufacture this. The righteousness by the law, it is just brown and dirty. It's unclean. But this robe, this raiment, was so bright and glistering that he was revealing to his disciples and to us down here in 2021 at the Rescue Baptist Church Bible Conference for the summer, that this is something that is not going to be found anywhere else. It's white and glistering. There is an electricity about it that you will find nowhere else. There's an animation in this that you will never find in any other religion, anywhere in this world. In fact, we find out that everything, and my dad and mother used to talk about those real bad religions. Buddhas, Muhammad's. And you know what I got to put in the same collection now? Baptists. They all advertise their righteousness by their own works. And yet the Lord shares with us so emphatically, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. And it's a righteousness you cannot find anywhere else. And it's the righteousness that is given by God, imputed to us. So this wonderful experience that these disciples got to see, and we get to read about today, we get to see here that raiment was special, and the righteousness of Christ is beyond measure.
Amen.
It's beyond examination. It's beyond thought. It's out of this world. It's of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, if you would, chapter 14. The book of Matthew, chapter 14. Another sharing in the Word about the raiment of the Lord Jesus Christ as it pictures the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ that He imputes to all of His people. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 14, begin reading with verse 34. Matthew chapter 14, begin reading with verse 34. Now this is when the Lord and His disciples, they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Let's just say this again. By divine appointment. He didn't make a mistake going anywhere. You know what's wonderful about the Lord? He never had to try to catch His words right here. Have you ever had to do that? He never spoke out of turn. He never spoke without reason. He never spoke that He had to be, I'm sorry for that. You know, there was 5,000 people. That's just counting the men. But there were women and children too. And He preached the gospel to them. And they got offended at it. And they said, we can't handle this. We're going to leave. And He didn't say one word. What can we do to fix this problem? We need You. We need You. No. You believe not? Because you're not of My sheep.
That's right.
All right, now notice verse 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased. Can you imagine? They didn't bring the king. They didn't bring the parliament. They didn't bring anybody of authority. They brought the diseased to Him. You know, that's all we can do. We just bring the disease. Come hear this man that's preaching the gospel. We already know their problem. They're diseased. They don't have anything in themselves that has any hope whatsoever. They're just diseased. Well, it goes on to tell us here, and they besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I read that and I just said, whoa. Everybody that touched the hem of His garment was made perfectly whole. Now, what does that say about His righteousness? Well, the greatness is in Christ, our righteousness. He has the ability of curing all our diseases. He has the ability of curing our sin problem. He has the ability of doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. He was had the ability of keeping all the promises of God. He had the ability of keeping all the law of God. He had the ability of keeping everything God demanded, but he also has the ability in that to give to us what we desperately need, and that is his righteousness. And by it, it is symbolized we are healed. Our sin is taken as far as the east is from the west. We no longer have that hanging over us. We can go before God Almighty with a clean heart. We can come boldly into his presence because he has taken the initiative to forgive us all our sins because of the blood of Jesus Christ that dealt with it up on the cross. He might redeem us from all iniquity. I'm just amazed at the words of the Bible that share with us all that Christ has done for us and what his righteousness imputed to us means to us. He never gives his righteousness where he didn't take care of the problem to begin with. He never gives us that robe of righteousness if, first of all, he has not taken care of the problem before the foundation of the world in electing us and then coming to this world and dying for us. He never wastes the cloth. It's always his robe that he gives to where he has promised to give it. By his own blood. Nobody else's, by his own blood. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 4. The book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. David described it, Old Testament. Why? Because he's led of the Holy Spirit. He's a servant. You know what David was? He was a secretary. He's a reporter. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's just a reporter, a secretary. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What a blessed state. And that righteousness only is given where he's already done the work. Where he's already made sure of the sin problem. Now, there's one more I wish you'd turn to about this robe, this raiment of the Lord. It's white and glistering. It's beyond anything we could ever imagine. The righteousness of Christ is beyond anything. It's beyond imagination. It's out of our scope to understand. But we by faith take it. We by faith believe it. We just say yes and amen. He's taken care of all my sin. And it is a righteousness that dealt with all my diseases. Now turn with me over here to the book of John chapter 19 for our last passage of scripture as we look at this raiment of the Lord pictured as the righteousness of Christ given to us. In the book of John chapter 19, we're witnessing one of the events. You know, it's the worst event that ever took place on the face of the earth, that human beings took the Son of God and crucified him. And the church says that's wrong. This is the most glorious event that has ever taken place on the face of the earth. He paid for my sin there.
Amen.
It's a glorious event. Oh, the seven sayings of Christ on the cross, they're glorious statements. The events that took place there. He went before Pilate, and Pilate made a comment that can just resound in the halls of justice in eternity. I find no fault in him. And then what did they do? They took him out and crucified him. Hallelujah! They found no fault in him. God found no fault in him. They took him out and crucified him. Now, around that cross, there's some Roman soldiers. And they're going to do something with some raiment. John chapter 19, verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You know what? That is what was put on his death warrant. This is the reason for this happening. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Let everybody read this. Then said the chief priests, of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Now, verse 23, notice this with me. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts. Now, I don't know all the garments that they wore in that day and time, but there is one garment here that they dealt with very special. Some of it they could just put, okay, Bill, you get this one. John, you get this one. Pete, you get this one. Oh, Norm, you get that one. They made four piles. They're there guarding the cross. Let's keep everybody away from here. We want this sentence to be carried out. But there is a garment here that was so special, even to these nitwits who understood nothing. God had imposed upon them this very activity. What's it going to say? They made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top to bottom. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. By divine appointment, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and they think it's all of their own. God is overriding everything that took place there that day. I got into a discussion with my mother one time. She said, you've just made yourself a puppet. And I said, it all depends who's the puppeteer. When I see God working with these soldiers to do exactly what the Word of God said they would do, I say, thank you, Lord. Carried out exactly. Now notice that one piece of cloth, that one raiment. What does it say about it? They cast lots. Why? For the coat was without seam. Now what's that tell us about the Lord and His righteousness? Without seam. He's holy, harmless, and undefiled. Without seam. You can't find where there is any part here that is at fault. He's without seam. 1 Peter 2:22 through 24. Who did no sin? People tried to find fault with him, but they couldn't. He's without seam. He is that glorious white and glistering. He is that glorious taking care of all diseases. And he can do this because he is without seam. In him is no sin. How glorious is his righteousness, and how glorious is the Son of God who imputes to us his righteousness, because you can find no fault in him. Oh my goodness, how glorious that is. You know, if you look at Abraham, a lot of folks look at Abraham. You can find fault in him. That guy was a liar. The Bible records it. Oh, let's go to David. David, we don't want to go there. Oh, let's go back. Let's go back We can't go to Adam. Where can we go? Moses! That guy's a murderer. You can't go anywhere in the history of man and find anybody that has without seam. There's only one. Jesus Christ the righteous. Now if you have his righteousness, it's like nothing you've ever had in your life. It's a righteousness that takes care of all diseases, because it's a righteousness of someone who had none. We're so thankful for the righteousness of Christ. We're thankful He imputes it to us. He gives it to us. He grants it to us. He closes with us. And it's ours. It's not something that we just put on and take off. It is, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like my epidermis and my dermis. He's made it ours. It belongs to the church. It belongs to every member of the church. It is so glorious. And it has taken care of the issues that God had with us in Adam. And it has fulfilled all that God demands. It was supplied. And we can just walk away and say, thank you, Lord.